Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Gridiron Blitz. This is your co-host, Nkechi Free, and I also have with me today Eric Brown. The wonderful Erica Lynn Anderson is not able to join us today. Eric, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good, pretty good. How are you doing?
I am doing great. You know how I'm really doing, but see, we have a little bit of time before we get into all of that. But, yeah, other than that, I am doing great. I had a very, very long weekend, lots of running around to do. The weather is gorgeous here in Texas. The weather like where you are in Texas?
For the most part, it's been cloudy and rainy, but the temperature is not bad, though. You know, it's in the low 60s, so not complaining about that. The weather will turn around here pretty quick. Actually, I think it's supposed to be sunny and warm tomorrow, so kind of like that.
Yeah, ours was actually really, really good, but it was just really windy, and so I was, you still have to keep your coat on, but I think after all that snow that we've gotten, everybody is ready for anything that we can get right now that halfway remotely looks like it's going to be any kind of warmth. So, the sun was shining and it was just really, really gorgeous. But today we have got lots of NFL free agency news, and we're going to talk today about, who's improved their roster, plus the LIBF Saturday night, the BAFA Women's Sapphire Series, plus, of course, the International Bowl results. So, got a lot going on today. Again, I am your host tonight, Nkechi Free, and I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Eric Brown. Erica Lynn Anderson, who's our other co-host, is not with us this evening. She's not feeling well, so shout out to you, Erica. You know we miss you. Get well soon, girl. We're going to go on ahead and jump into the No Jokes Football information, so let's get to it. Shop today at the www.zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. Order your project apparel like your leggings, hoodies, cool T-shirts, for tryouts, whatever you need your apparel for, and save 10% off using Order Ship 10. And reminder, every sale of the No Joke Football brand this year goes to help another player get noticed, get recognized internationally through our photo shoots and social media platforms. So remember, every time you make a sale, you make a difference in one of the lives of our players so they can get that opportunity to get noticed and recognized. Awesome players like Christy Moran, Lauren Evans of Gridiron Queensland, plus Moon Arianda and Sophia Van B of FXF Mexico and LIBF. And those are just some of the examples of some of the players who've had a chance to get some notice because of you making those purchases. So, again, make those purchases, use Order Ship 10, and save 10% off. You can also check out our playlist at Gridiron Beauties at YouTube and witness the girls playing American football like a girl. Remember, No Joke Football. Subscribe today.
All right. Well, all eyes were in Seattle last week, March 6th and March 7th, International Women's Day weekend, as the Seattle Majestics and the Tacoma Trauma, like that Tacoma Trauma, faced the Mexico national team in the International Bowl friendly matchups. Seattle ended up winning at big, 58-8. So they put a beating on them. And Tacoma lost 64-8 to the Mexico All-Stars. So, which included our No Joke Football supporter, Sophia Van B, and quarterback Michelle Romero, with Mexico sponsored by at Perform Zone MX, and our friend Scott McCarron of the WFA. You can also follow them on Twitter, the LIBF on Twitter, that is. The handle is at the number one LIBF, so at one LIBF. Also, last week, LIBF canceled games, but this weekend it was the Voodoo versus the Spartans and Vipers versus the Furias. Last classified preseason event, follow our network partner at radio_IMAN, IMAN, on Twitter for more updates and scores. Also, PGFL 2015 kicked off this weekend. We'll have updates on Facebook, and you can follow them at PGFL Official. That's, once again, that's at PGFL Official. Plus Caribbean Football League. That sounds good. I love to play in the Caribbean. Results from the,
I know,
the
right?
Bucks versus Lipsticks. Yep. Undefeated dual matchup from Cancun. Follow, see if I can say this right, at Bucaneras Bikini. Once again, that's at Bucaneras Bikini for updates for their games and scores, et cetera. Also,
okay,
get
well,
LNF.
Yes,
okay,
I'm sorry. I was like looking at Cancun. No, when you said Cancun, I was like, yes, Cancun. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in, but I was just having wonderful visions in my head.
Right. Also, you can get LNFA Spanish League updates and stats at www.fifa, that's FEFA.es/infa. Use hashtag LNFA Femenina on Twitter. Follow at FIFA_Spain for updates of matches on Twitter, and also follow at NFL Hispano. This weekend, also round three, the Sapphire Series by BAFA Women in the UK. For results, please follow at BAFA Women on Twitter for updates. We'll share results on our Facebook page as well this week, so be on the lookout for that. Now, also, just a reminder to follow the Australia Women's off-season updates and keep up to date on the latest at LGL Gridiron Victoria Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales information by following at Women's Gridiron at LGL Aust on Twitter, and their website www.wglaus.com for cool features and past stories. And finally, tryouts.
And finally, tryouts. Yes, they're in full swing. I'm excited. It's
finally
time to get our football on. I know. We're so excited. Well, and everyone can keep up to date on the trending tryouts and the news by following on Twitter at Backseat Coach. Again, follow them on Twitter at Backseat Coach. Also on Twitter at WFB Talk and at MyLFL. So, again, that's where you need to go to keep up with all the tryouts and news about tryouts here in North America. In Canada, you can follow at WWCFL, also at MWFL Football, and at CCWFL. Again, for those in Canada who want to try out for one of the Canadian teams, follow at WWCFL, at MWFL Football, and at CCWFL. And shout out to our network partners at WSB Talk, at Miss Gridiron 9, at GI Queendom, at Radio underscore Iman for sharing our posts and bringing us timely info on women's tackle football, full kit and non-full kit. So that's women's news. Follow us on our social media sites on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or facebook.com/gridironbeauties with an S, Instagram Gridiron Beauties, and we will tackle all of that some more in this segment. Okay, Eric, let's get to the moment everybody's been waiting for all week long. Let's talk NFL free agency. Lots of movement going on, some good, some questionable. And, Eric, we are going to start with you, my friend. So I want you to do me two things. First, I want you to tell me what do you think about the free agency moves for your team. And then, you know, first tell everybody, remind everybody for our new listeners, who's your team, and let everybody know what do you think about the free agency moves for your team, and what do you think, what do you like, what do you not like, you know, what are some of you, what do you think are still some more of your strengths and weaknesses, and then we'll get to the big buzz about my team. And so we're going to save my team for last, because, you know, I may have to pull an Erica rant. So, Eric, let's go ahead and start with you and tell me, what do you think?
Well, for those that don't know, my team is the Bears. I'm from Chicago, so I tend to root for them, you know, for that reason. So, but, yeah, overall, I was pretty happy so far with the moves that they've made. Looks like they're trying to tighten up that defense. They finally, after all these years, got a real safety in there with Antrell Roll. They haven't had somebody of that caliber in I don't know how long. I mean, they've had, you know, Mike Brown, they had Chris Harris, Danielle Manning, all those guys. They ended up letting leave for other teams. So every time that happened, you know, you could just kind of feel like somebody just reached into your chest and just squeezed your heart to death. So they're making moves there. You know, they still have a lot left, but, you know, I'm happy with that. I just wish there was something they could do with the quarterback position. I know as far as free agents goes, I mean, there's really nobody else out there better than Jay Cutler, which is not necessarily a great thing because, you know, obviously, you know, he led the league in turnovers last year. So they're just going to have to, at least for this year, make do with what they have. They've already announced him as the starting quarterback. I guess, you know, well, obviously Jimmy Clausen, he's not Jay Cutler, but he did play one game last year, and I have to say, you know, I know it was just one game, but the game that he played, it seemed like everything as far as the pace of the offense, it was calm. It wasn't all, you know, crazy and helter-skelter and up and down. They put drives together. Everything looked much more organized. So, you know, is that something that they can rely on? We'll see. But, you know, just from that game, I don't know. I think Jay's got some serious competition.
Well, okay, so that was going to be my question to ask you. You know, looking at the quarterbacks that were still out there, was there anyone that you saw that you might have leaned toward, been more interested in, anyone else that you think would have been, you know, a better fit for you guys?
Not anyone that was available, because if you're going to remove a guy, especially the starting quarterback, it should be for somebody that's better than what they are.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that have less turnovers, but are they a better quarterback overall? And for the guys that were available, okay, I mean, it was pretty obvious that, you know, they're, as far as overall
right,
quarterback play, no, they're not better.
Right.
It's just one of those things. It's kind of it's almost like a catch 22. It's like, oh, I want to get rid of this guy, but there's nobody better, so we'll keep.
What are you gonna do?
Right.
And you might as well hold on. No, I mean, unfortunately, sad but true. You're right. Now, that being said, in as much as it hasn't happened, And no, I'm not trying to start any internet, Twitter, or sports rumors. But if the Redskins let Cousins go, would you want him if he were available?
No, I can't say that. I can't say I do. No. I mean,
okay.
If this was maybe a couple of years ago, I might say yeah. But no, not knowing him now, how I know him now, no, I can't say that.
Right, because you've seen enough in the two times that he's had to cover for RG3, and the only reason why I throw that scenario out there is simply because, as you know, I'm here. That quarterback situation really isn't settled. I mean, yes, they announced RG3 during the combine as a starter, but so what? It's the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And I know that we're talking, and I know right now we're in free agency, but the truth is, once the draft comes, there's still always opportunities, and even up until preseason, there's still opportunities for moves to be made.
Right.
You know, and I just think that while you're right, what's available right now in free agency doesn't look good, and it's not impressive. But you know, there is still that possibility that someone could click maybe in a different offense or a different scheme, you know. And there's just, you just got to, you know, kind of look and hope and say, oh, wow, I didn't expect him to be available. Okay, so let's play that game. If there's one person that you think in the quarterback position that you could say, wow, I didn't expect them to become available, who would you want?
Meaning if that were to happen? Well, the only ones I could think of would be the ones that are already the face of their franchise, and I know they're not going anywhere. So,
right.
You know, of course, you know, your Russell Wilsons, you know, Tom
Brady. Oh, no, honey, that, yeah, yeah, you're reaching. Yeah, I mean,
those are the only ones that I can think of, but I know they're not going anywhere. Other than that, okay. I couldn't really name anyone.
Well, no, that's fair. Well, so I'm looking at the quarterback situation, and I'm actually surprised that Philly let Nick Foles go, re-signed Mark Sanchez, and then traded for Sam Bradford.
Yeah, that's
you know, since we're talking about quarterbacks, you know, because we're going to have to, you know, because really that's the perfect segue, talking about quarterbacks, to get into the hot button free agency moves, which basically are centering around two teams in the NFC East, the Eagles and my beloved Cowboys. So for those who don't know, yes, I am a Cowboys fan. I am a diehard Cowboys fan, and the whole DeMarco Murray situation left me scratching my head. Now, that said, I'm actually not upset. You know, I read an article recently, Eric, that said that Steven is really starting to make a lot more of the decisions, especially in terms of player and player personnel, as well as player contracts. And
right.
Steven Jones is, and Jerry's not making as many decisions in Dallas in terms of, you know, some of the player personnel and the player contracts. That doesn't mean that I'm sure he's not involved, but he's really starting to turn the reins over to his son. And as much as it hurts, he's made some good decisions in the past 2 years. I agree that we should have kept DeMarco Murray. I like what they were offering him. I cannot even pretend that I'm not blown that he signed a 5-year deal for $40 million with Philly. I don't remember how much of the 40 was guaranteed, so I'll have to go back and look at that. But that one was a huge shocker. especially because of one thing. I know that Dan Braffer and DeMarco Murray were teammates in college, so hurt. So I really am wondering if they're bringing in Sam Bradford to be the backup to Mark Sanchez, or are they going to let them, you know, compete for the position? What do you think?
Well, I think they're going to let them fight it out, because I don't see a huge difference between what Sam Bradford can do when he's healthy versus what Sanchez has done in his career so far. So I think, you know, they're going to bring him into camp, they're going to fight it out, and whoever, as they say, gives him the best chance to win, that's who's going to be at the helm.
Yeah, that's all that you kind of can do at this point. And again, let me be clear, I like Sam Bradford. I've always wanted him to succeed. I've always wanted him to do well, but he hasn't stayed healthy long enough to produce any results. Whereas Sanchez, in as much as he's not a Tom Brady, he's at least stayed healthy. He's except for those last 2 years in New York with the Jets, he's put up decent numbers. I mean, his first 2 years, he took the team to the AFC Championship. And even this year, coming in the middle of the season, he really helped Philly push Dallas for the NFC title. So, I mean, I don't think that was a bad move to let him, to re-sign him and keep him. But I just am wondering why Sam Bradford. You know, that move really just shocked me. And so I'm really going to be playing, you know, the whole wait and see game right there and look at that. The other move that the Cowboys made that truthfully has me scratching my head is signing Darren McFadden. I understand it's only a 2-year deal. I know it's only $3 million. And again, Darren McFadden is another one of those players, when he was healthy, my gosh, he was, you know, phenomenal. But
he
has not completed. He was, like, unstoppable. But he hasn't stayed healthy. I honestly don't even remember when he's had a complete season or when he's even played more than 4 games in a season. I mean, he's been that seriously injured. And because of the way Dallas tends to run their running backs. Dallas, which is not a good thing, they make running backs play like, you know, the workhorses. They just put the load on them and say, here, take it and go. And it's, you know, and yay, it's a balanced attack, but it's not as balanced because the running back that got it, I mean, he had his shoulder so much. And I hope they don't have those kind of false expectations of Darren McFadden.
Well,
you know,
the only sense I can make of it is he's basically the same type of back that Murray was, where he's not, you know, a big, you know, juking type of guy. He's, you know, he'll find one direction, point that foot, and go. He's not going to spend a whole lot of time behind the line of scrimmage juking, looking for holes. So in that sense, he's the same type of guy. But they still have the two backups that they had from last year. So maybe they're going to do, you know, maybe they'll stay committed to the run, but maybe they'll do more so running back by committee. So that way, you know, they have guys fresher towards the end of the season. That's pretty much the only sense of it that I can make of it.
Now, if that's in that, which would make sense in Philly because of their running style. So them getting Ryan Matthews, that was a pretty decent deal. I mean, it's still, Ryan Matthews is still a little beat up too, but I'm just kind of like, okay. Let's see where this one goes. You know, I will tell you who did surprise me was Frank Gore going to Indiana. That was, you know, that one, I was not surprised to see Roy Helu go. I really didn't see him staying in D.C. Much longer. That one I just didn't see. And is there anyone that's out, or are there any other running backs that you can think of who kind of surprised you, where you just kind of looked at them and said, that's where you went?
Well, I was going to say the whole Frank Gore situation, how that went down, how, you know, he was initially going to Philly. I was like, well, why would you let LeSean McCoy go and bring in Gore?
Right.
Because to me, Not that Gore is a bad running back, but I think McCoy is, you know, just fits that offense so much better. And then come to find out, he's backing out of the deal and now ends up in Indianapolis. So that whole situation right there was just crazy.
But now, and that's what I was wondering, and again, the rumor mill was that if Frank Gore had signed in Philly, that Philly would not have come after DeMarco Murray.
Right, I can feasibly see that. I mean, if you sign somebody like Gore, then, you know, that's pretty much, you're saying that's my guy right there.
Right. Well, and so here's the other crazy part of it, and this is the other thing that bothers me to no end about DeMarco Murray. It wasn't just that he left, but he stayed in the NFC East. See, that to me was just, that, I think, for all of it, just was stuck in my craw. I mean, that just worked, you know, all of my nerves. And I'm like, beware. He wanted his money. He felt he was worth more. And he did a great job in Denver, you know. And he's got another year. And he's probably got it. I think DeMarcus Ware probably has another year in him, maybe even two, you know, before he's going to, you know, put it down. But at least he went to the AFC, you know, or even if he went to the NFC, he didn't stay in the division. That, I think, is the part that drives me crazy about the whole DeMarcus Ware thing. But I'm still scratching my head over Philly for two other moves. I mean, of course they bring in Sam Bradford, which has me scratching my head. You let Shady McCoy go, which had me scratching my head. And then who else did they let go? Their wide receiver. They let Jeremy Maclin go. And again, I'm like, what are they doing? I mean, especially to have a high-powered offense, you need high-powered weapons.
I think it's kind of twofold. One, you look at Chip Kelly's whole system. He wants guys in there that are going to, you know, fall into step with what his plans are. You look at who he got rid of. They're all, you know, outspoken. You know, they'll let you know in a minute, hey, I'm not happy, or I don't think this is working, or, you know, I need the ball more. And Chip Kelly doesn't want that around. It's, you know, you fall into the way things are, into my system, or I don't need you. You know, almost like Bill Belichick. Also, I think it had something to do with money as well, because they freed up some money to be able to make some other deals. So, I mean, you look at those two things combined, kind of makes more sense. But yeah, on the surface, it's like you're letting all these guys go. I mean, because obviously in the past, when teams have let multiple superstars, if you will, go, all of a sudden here they, you know, they have them 4-12 seasons, 3-13. So, like you said earlier, it's kind of a wait and see type of thing. But it's almost like you hear former Patriots players talking about the Patriot way. It seems like this is ending up going to be, you know, the Eagles way. So we'll see how that whole situation unfolds.
Well, and I'm wondering this, and again, I'm throwing it out there. I'm wondering if it also could be because of the fact that Chip Kelly inherited them and that they were still Andy Reid guys. You know, I wonder how much did that have anything to do with it?
But, yeah, that plays a part, too. You know, all coaches always want – their guys in there because, you know, when you're trying to, when your whole philosophy is different than what was in there before, you've got to get everybody on the same page. And some guys can deal with that, some guys can't. So whoever can't, obviously you don't want that permeating through your locker room and, you know, causing, you know, havoc, you know, like you saw in Chicago last year or the last 2 years. Want everybody on the same page and, you know, believing in what it is you're saying. So, yeah, I can see that, too. You know, I need my guys in, my players, my coaches, you know, whoever that believes in what I believe in. So, yeah, that could play a big role, too.
And I can see that. I really can. I know Erica's not here speaking about my guys, you know, and making sure that you have the right kind of guys on there. And I know Erica's not here, But I'm wondering, and I'd, you know, what do you think about Revis going back to the Jets?
Well, I mean, you
because
figure,
it just seems like no matter where he goes, he's like he goes, he comes back, he goes, he comes back. You know, what did you think about that?
Actually, I kind of expected it. Like earlier in the week, I didn't even know that was, you know, a possibility. And then I heard it. I was like, oh yeah, that, you know, I figured that was going to happen. Because, you know, he really didn't want to leave New York, and you know, now
right.
he has the opportunity to come back. You know, of course they were able to make it happen. You know, they have another great defensive mind at head coach in Todd Bowles. And we all saw
right.
what he did with Arizona. So, and then also you look at the fact that, you know, on defense, the Jets weren't necessarily horrible. I mean, they gave up, you know, 25 points a game. So you figure by adding Revis to that, he can take away at least one touchdown, if not maybe two per game. And, you know, you're looking at pretty much a whole different ball game there if that happens.
Well, I think it's going to be – well, I think the biggest issue for the Jets is going to be the same issue that you guys have in Chicago, and that the Jets really have not established who's their quarterback. And again, looking at what's out there for free agency, you know, I mean, I know we've already, you know, said that there's always the draft and there's other options, but I really don't, I just don't know where they're going to go. And at the end, I mean, they're going to beef up their defense, which is going to be great and amazing, but I don't know what they're going to be able to do offensively. And I think that that's going to be really critical for the Jets to, I don't want to say they have to get it right, but they kind of do. I mean, they have like a 1 or 2 year time window to really start making some positive moves to move the team in the right direction. And it really truly is going to have to start with who's the lead for that team. And it's going to have to start with their quarterback position. Were there any other
right
big
now,
free agency moves that got you, do you think? Or that stood out to you?
Well, kind of along the Jets, I was going to say it's they're at least going to start out with Geno Smith, which is why they brought in Brandon Marshall, which brings me to
right.
my next free agent move. I actually saw a video of them on online just playing catch, you know, just working out. And you know, Brandon Marshall was talking about, you know, all the things that he wants to do this year. You know, he wants to take them to another dimension, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, they're going to at least start with Geno Smith. They'll probably pick up, you know, another quarterback in the draft. You know, somebody that can come in and compete with him for that job, somebody that can push him. But, yeah, they're going to have to make some major moves as far as offense goes to get that turned around probably. Well, they got a good possession receiver in Brandon Marshall. They're going to need somebody else on the other side to complement him. You know, you're looking at running back, et cetera. So
yep.
this may be a 2-3 year project for them on offense.
Yeah. And that's why I said I don't see it happening this year, but I definitely could see, you know, within the next year or two. But if they're really going to have a presence, you know, in their division, they really are going to have to get their quarterback situation settled, which, of course, Buffalo is going to have to do as well if they're going to also compete, considering that New England and basically Miami, they're pretty set with their quarterback. I mean, Miami isn't the best, but, you know, at least Tannehill is not that bad. And that if you put the right offensive players and pieces around him, Tannehill has shown that he's got some football and quarterback, you know, savvy in terms of decision-making, in terms of quick releases, not holding on to the ball. And he makes pretty good football decisions. He just doesn't have enough offensive weapons around him. So if the Dolphins put the right players and pieces in place, you know, I think that we might have a different result next year in terms of how the Dolphins do on the field.
Right. And they just picked up a receiver too. The name just totally left me, but yeah, they can add some more firepower. So, I mean, they put up what basically 24 points a game last year. So you
mm-hmm.
get another guy in there that's, you know, got some explosiveness, that can add, you know, one touchdown per game. That'll get them over the hump to, you know, better than what they were this past year. They could, you know, feasibly be in the AFC Championship.
Right. So that was a perfect segue. Speaking of the Dolphins, what do you think about their defensive requirement?
Well, you wouldn't be by any chance talking about Mr. Sue, would you?
No, not I, said the cat. Absolutely. I mean, oh, my gosh, I wish Erica was here to, you know, right now to talk about that one, because I would love to hear her thoughts on that one. But, yeah, good move, bad move? Did they pay enough? Did they pay too much? What are your thoughts?
Well, for them, I think it was a great move. And it's kind of funny because the other week I was, you know, just you know, talking back and forth with a friend of mine, and you know, he's a big Dolphins fan. And once Sue became available, I was like, maybe the Bears might, you know, do a little sniffing around. And he was like, nope, he's coming to Miami. He's coming to Miami. I was like, no, that would never happen. Next thing you know, bam, Sue signs with Miami. So that totally, you know, caught me by surprise. But yeah, I think it's a great move for them. They're trying to make strides. They're trying to get to the next level and, you know, need to get some an extra guy in there that can add some more attitude to that defense. And, you know, what better of a guy than Dominic and Sue?
Right. Well, you know who else? Now, there's a couple of people who I've been looking at who actually surprised me because they really haven't been moving. And that, you know, and I'm looking at a couple of people and I'm like, wow. Nothing has happened yet. Now, some of these guys, I will admit, are a little past their prime, but I think that they could still be, you know, good role players. But before I go into some of those guys who are still out there who haven't been signed, there was another huge signing that, two other big signings that we used to talk about, Graham to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge. I mean, my goodness. Seattle got over big time. I don't want to say got over, but they acquired a massive weapon. And just the things that Russell Wilson and Jimmy Graham can do together.
Right, especially with Marshawn.
All I have is wow. Yes, that's that balanced attack that most people are looking for. It's going to be, because truthfully, and again, no disrespect to Seattle's offense, and they had some good wide receivers and they had some good tight ends, but, you know, they've never had, the Golden Tate was gone, you know, and then it's not, they haven't had that explosive, that just that power, that monster player, you know, for the wide receiver tight end position that they have in Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
And I just think Graham going to Seattle is going to be huge.
Yeah, especially if you look at, you know, some of those rollout plays that Wilson does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a lot of times where he would roll out and really nobody was open, nobody's really stretching the defense. And
right.
So when it happens now, this is going to be crazy, especially if it's a play action Marshawn Lynch is going out, takes the, you know, fakes the handoff, goes out to the flat. Jimmy Graham rolls out to that same side. Wilson's coming out to that side. It's like, okay, which one do you take? You know,
who do you cover? Oh, I know.
Right. So, I mean, the only thing you can do is really.
Well, another thing he gives him is the height, you know, with
the height, too.
That's just going to be huge. You know, how are you going to defend against that height? And see, that is going to be huge in terms of giving him options as well. They are really going to give defensive serious fits next year.
Right. And also, if you rewind to the Super Bowl on that last play, if they had an option to where they could, you know, throw up a jump ball in the back of the end zone, what better guy?
Yes.
Because they didn't really have that last year, so.
No. And that was one of the reasons why that ball was able to be intercepted, because it was thrown so low. Yes, you want them right in the gut, but that ball was so easily able to be picked off because Dez Bryant gives you that type of ability to be able to go up and pull one of those monsters down.
Yeah.
You know. And Seattle didn't really have that.
I disagree with that play call, though, for that reason, because the ball had to be thrown so low.
Right.
I don't necessarily disagree with them throwing the ball, but if, you know, why that particular pass?
Right.
You know, throw it up in the back of the end zone, a quick out route to the corner, you know, something, give yourself a chance.
Right, not in the middle of traffic.
Right.
With all that coverage. Of course, you just get the ball to beast mode. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. Sorry, Erica. Look, I have to throw that in real quick before I get beat down. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, too, really quickly, before we talk about who's left on the board, what are your thoughts about Cleveland and their quarterback situation?
You know what? I don't even know what to think about it. You got Johnny Manziel, who's still in rehab. It's been reported that he was out, but they're saying he's still in it. He's still in inpatient care. Just basically what they put out there last year. I'm kind of at a loss. I mean, what I think they should do is seriously look at, you know, making moves to get up as high as they can in the draft to maybe they can, you know, work out a deal for, you know, a Mariota or, you know, even possibly Winston if they're still on the board. But, I mean, you know, something. Yeah. They've got to be able to hang their hat
on
something. They really don't have that right now.
Well, but I thought that was the whole reason why they got Johnny Football in the first place. They wanted to give Cleveland fans something. And then look at how fast his jerseys were selling out up there.
Well, I mean,
you know,
when I hang your hat on something,
because
I mean,
what
something
they
that you...
is tangible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, something that you know, that you can hang your hat on, that you know, okay, 2-3 years down the road, we're going to be in contention, not just something that is just, you know, attention-grabbing and something that, I mean, obviously there's no guarantees, but you need a guy in that... You know, okay, he's going to be the first guy in the building. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be the last guy out. When he's not in the facility, he's studying. He's working on his craft. He's not out at the bar.
Right.
He's not out partying. More so somebody like that. I mean, they did their homework on that.
Right.
So this is not a surprise. They were just – you know, took a chance.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I honestly, while I've never been – a Johnny Manziel fan, of course you don't wish this situation on anybody, because at the end of the day, and I understand this is a business, I do, let me be clear, I understand that football is a business, and I understand that as a professional, then, you know, I can't do even the manner in which he behaved and still have a job. Let me just be the everyday average Joe. We can't go out to Vegas every other weekend and party and be all over the internet and Facebook and YouTube and, you know, TMZ and all this other stuff and think that when we come back that we're going to have a job, we'll have all of our stuff in a nice little neat little box waiting for us. That said, that we tend to still forget that he's a kid. And I'm just going to politely say and put my and leave it over here. Let's just say, you know, I was 22 once. You know, how many, maybe I didn't go to Vegas every weekend, but that doesn't mean I didn't go to a club on a Friday or Saturday night. Okay, I didn't have $10,000 to drop. Maybe I was happy spending my 30 and was going to that.
Right. But also at the same time, we weren't celebrities. We weren't entrusted with leading a NFL franchise. So
absolutely.
I know he's still a young guy, but at the same time, you know, he's got to grow up and grow up very quickly or he's not going to be in the league.
But you know what? But see, that goes back to the old argument about putting all that on the rookies right away anyway, as opposed to the old system where you had a veteran and you let the rookie sit for a year or two, pair them, to teach them, to groom them. There is something to be said for that grooming period.
Yeah, definitely.
There is something to be said for that grooming period. So that way, when they're doing the stupid stuff that was done last year, as they're working through that age of their life, and I do mean that age and stage, then it gives them time to do that. Because lest we forget, as we, you know, proudly hail and lift up Brett Favre, he didn't do so hot that first year or two in Atlanta.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? But because he got it together, he grew up, matured, got himself groomed, he went on to become spectacular. Now, again, I am in no way ever saying that Johnny Manziel is going to become the next Brett Favre. That he could, but I'm not saying he will. But I'm making a comparison to say, look at the mistakes that they both made in their life. CeCe, you know, who's in the Hall of Fame now, love Chris Carter. I love me some Chris Carter. But again, he had to screw up in Philly first to get a second chance with the Vikings. And I'm saying that there is something to be said for that grooming period that we're missing in this instant flash pan, powder, water, boom, instant quarterback era. And it just, then that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. You know, very few people come out of college and become the CEO.
Yeah.
You might get to be a mid-level manager, and that's depending on if you got your bachelor's or your master's.
Right.
So I think that, you know, not allowing them to have that grooming period to adjust to being with a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and now you're a 20-year-old kid trying to lead 28, 29, and 30, and 32-year-old grown men with families.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we live in a microwave society.
We do. And it really truly shows. Now, great, some guys are able to come out and handle it. Happy, happy joy. I think that there needs to be some transition period, and I just think that not having that, you know, part of football anymore is detrimental to some of these younger guys. Okay, so moving on really quickly before we, because we're going to, you know, be wrapping up soon within the next 20 minutes or so. Was there anyone on the board who's still available that stands out to you? That someone who has not been re-signed or signed with the new team? Is there anyone that stands out to you?
Well, I'm still keeping my eye on this Adrian Peterson saga. One day you're hearing, because, you know, being here in Dallas, one day I'm hearing, okay, yeah, he's coming to the Cowboys. Then the next day I hear, oh, his agent met with the Vikings and they had a great meeting and
mm-hmm.
he wants to come back to Minnesota. And then the next day it's, oh, he's upset with Minnesota. He wants to come to Dallas. So that's probably the major one that I'm keeping my eye on there.
Okay. I would keep my eye on it, but I can't tell. I can't handle it anymore. I can't take it. Going through all of this foolishness with DeMarco Murray as a fan, it totally just drained me to the point where I'm like, whatever, sign who you sign. Make it happen.
Well,
make it go.
Well, also keep in mind, McFadden's contract is small enough to where, you know, they can be in camp for 2 days and just cut him and bring in Adrian Peterson and not even miss
yeah.
a beat. So, you know,
right.
as you know, NFL contracts are not guaranteed. So,
exactly.
So that's still on the shelf. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's probably the biggest surprise to me. I would figure, you know, if Minnesota really wanted him that bad, they would find some kind of way to make him happy. And
we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right. So
no,
I must
totally
say, if he
agree.
Does come to Dallas, I might, you know, I might
Woo!
Start rooting for the Cowboys a little bit. So.
What? Let me find out. No, we don't get you jumping on our bandwagon. No. You stay with the Bears. The thing is, how you are down there will allow you to attend some of our games.
Right?
Now I have someone to come watch the games with if I can hurry up and get down there this season.
Yeah, see, there you go. Because, of course, that's all that's on.
Yes, there we go. Maybe we can give this off for, hey, let us do a live remote.
Right.
I would tell you, though, who actually has me surprised that they're still on the board and that they haven't made a move. And maybe I'm missing something and maybe I'm just not hearing enough. But I'll tell you who I like. Or who kind of surprised me was Michael Crabtree. Still has not resigned.
Yeah. Right.
And I think what he's done in San Francisco is phenomenal. But I'm wondering again if it's part of that whole new coach thing. You know, but I am surprised about Michael Crabtree still not being signed. I'm surprised about Dwayne Bowe still not being signed. That one kind of just was like, oh, you know.
Yeah, Dwayne Bowe's not signed, but I know Cleveland is making a big push for him, so it may be, you know, very shortly here that he's with the team.
Okay. Well, that would be a good look for Cleveland. That would actually be a really good look for Cleveland. But
yeah, they need all the help they can get.
Crabtree, yeah, they do, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Crabtree, that one kind of got me. Also, under offensive tackles, you know, Dick Long hasn't been re-signed. And I have to say, Howie's son is pretty good. You know, he's made some moves. I was surprised that they re-signed Doug Free. Now, it's only a 3-year deal, and it's $15 million. Of course, we know they're not guaranteed. But that one kind of, I'm so ambivalent about Doug Free, and I know it's so funny because we both have the same last name. I'm so ambivalent about him because he's a great player, but dagnabbit, all those stupid penalties just do something to my emotions. I mean, just all these stupid penalties that he gets and causes the team. Just, I'm like, good God, man, can you plant? Keep your fingers on the ground. Don't shift your booty. Don't wiggle it. Don't do nothing. Hold your breath if you have to.
Right.
And it doesn't happen. So
some guys, I don't know if it's a mental thing or what, but somehow it just seems like they just can't overcome that for whatever reason.
No. And it drives me crazy. But now the other one, let's see, I'm trying to think of who, I'm trying to find the other name of who else was out there that was not signed yet that stood out to me. And I'm trying to remember who it is. But until I can remember the name, a quiet little deal. It just was so nice and so quiet that this is the way I like free agency to be done under the radar, but it was done efficiently and effectively, was Michael Orr going to the Panthers. That was nice.
I heard he wasn't going to be picked up, but by the team that he was with. But I hadn't heard anything about that. Right.
Yep, he was here with the Ravens, and you know, they didn't pick up his option, and he signed a 2-year deal with the Panthers. And again, another team that has been strong defensively. So, I know he's not a defensive player, but still, it's, you know, I think that Michael Orr would be a good addition for them.
Yeah.
I really, then, I
think Wilfork is still available, isn't he?
Well, I'm not sure. I have to double check. But I know that, of course, Greg Hardy clearly is still available. And this was the other two that surprised me: Dwight Freeney and Anthony Spencer. The Cowboys have not re-signed. Now I've heard that we're going to sign him back, but they're taking a while with that one. And then Dwight Freeney. Now I know he missed all of last season, right, with Indiana.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was the whole season or a good portion of it, but yeah, he was. Had some injury issues there.
Yeah, and then I think wasn't there also something with some allegations? I don't know, I can't remember. But that's another one that I kind of was just like, huh. But yeah, Anthony Spencer's still there. He's still unsigned, and Greg Hardy. And then, of course, you know, Ray Rice. I don't even know, again. Yep, and you were right. Vince Wilfork has not signed yet.
Okay.
He hasn't re-signed. B.J. Raji hasn't signed. Huh, that's interesting. I don't even know if he's going to, I just don't know. And I really and truly would like to see him get back in the league.
A lot of it is, their age. A lot of them are around 30 or over, and
right.
You know, so many of these teams are looking to, you know, bring in some more youth. So it may actually, you
right.
know, be, you know, beginning of the season or mid season when they finally get signed with somebody.
Right, but I hope that that's not going to be the case, Ray Rice, only because he's already missed a year, and he really needs to get back out there and get back in football shape.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the question
and
is,
just,
who wants to touch that situation, though?
I know. No, I mean, I agree, and that's, you know, it's one of those, you know, darned if you do and darned if you don't. But
right.
In all honesty, because I heard Greg Hardy's name being thrown around with the Cowboys, and I'm like, if I had to pick, now I know he is a serious pass rusher, and God knows we can use all the help we can get on defense, and we could use a Greg Hardy. But if I had, between Greg Hardy and Ray Rice, if I had my, I would go with Ray Rice. And I know that, you know, Greg Hardy is in a little bit better position because she, you know, the legal situation where the charges were dropped because she didn't show up and all of that, and whereas opposed to with Ray Rice, there's the video. There's no getting around it. You can't hide it. You can't sugarcoat. You can't say, well, she says that's what I did, but that's not really what I did. No, we know what you did. It's out there. It's done.
Yeah.
It's a deal. It's out there. But the reason why I would say I'd rather take him is because the whole situation was handled so poorly from start to finish, from the league all the way down.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was handled so poorly.
Right.
That I think had it been handled differently, the outcome in terms of its impact to his professional career might have been different. He still might have to have done some time. He probably wouldn't have done a suspension and et cetera. But because of how poorly it was handled, I just really think that that was critical in terms of the public's views and image of the situation. Now, again, I am not advocating domestic violence or any of the above. And be clear before, you know, someone comes and gets me. I'm talking strictly from a football
right.
that the situation was not handled correctly in terms of how he should be punished and how it's going to be punished and what the league knew and when they knew. And that was just such a debacle from A to Z that I just think all of that impacted him. And I think that he is you know, dealing with the outcome of just some really poor decision making all the way around from start to finish. So if I had my choice, you know, that's who I'd pick.
Well, if I'm an owner or a coach or, you know, anyone in any position of power, if I had my choice between the two, I would go with Greg Hardy. Reason being,
okay,
Ray Rice, you know, the last two, maybe even 3 years that he played, his production went down each year. So I'm looking at that as, okay, now it's a trend. It's not something that, you know, it was a fluke and then he, you know, went back up the next year. Each year his production went down prior to this season. So that would be a huge reason for me to go with Greg Hardy, because Hardy, you know, when he was in there, he was balling. So that's, I mean, and you can never have too many defensive linemen. So I'll go with Greg Hardy just for that reason only.
And that's a good reason. And again, considering, you know, who knows where our offense is going to be next year, we're going to need as much support on defense as we can get, especially because the Cowboys still are lagging in terms of creating turnovers. So,
right.
You know, I definitely can't disagree with you there. And speaking of defense, I know that Erica has to be happy that Devin McCourty re-signed with New England. I'm not going to lie, I too was happy to see that. I think that he's just a good player and a good guy, and he really and truly deserves another chance. And I think the last person we want to talk about tonight, and tell me what your thoughts on this, Brian Araxo going to Tennessee.
I think that was a good pickup for them. You know, he's kind of seems like his career has kind of been up and down. I'm not able to see a whole lot of Redskins games, but from what I've been seeing, it, you know, he's had some flashes of greatness, and then other times it's like, you know, why'd they even draft him? But
right.
You know, if he can start being more consistent, you know, he can help, you know, Tennessee to turn that defense around back to the way it used to be, you know, when they had, you know, Javon Kurse and those guys.
Yeah. I'm ambivalent, and I'm kind of on the fence, only because, again, being here in D.C., my viewpoint is probably a little skewed. And it's always interesting to see how other people view Brian Araxo versus how the Redskins see him versus how others see him. And I think a lot of people outside of the D.C. area are just enamored with Brian Araxo. I think here, because he's been injured so much, everyone's just kind of like, okay. And again, you know, I'm not even a Redskins fan. It's just that I agree with you. I think he showed flashes of potential, but he's never lived up to.
Right.
And part of it being he's been injured, so he's never really had a complete full season, but we can actually see consistency in terms of what he's actually able to do on the field. So I think that, you know, that's going to be really, really interesting to look at and see, you know, what can he do and how much he can, you know, turn that around for Tennessee, and if he'll be able to have a healthy season, you know. So
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
see.
Sometimes
and, you know,
all it takes is a change of scenery. So, you know, maybe that might be the key.
Yeah. That's true. That is absolutely true. Well, and in other safety news, Brandon Merriweather is still unsigned. Both the Landry brothers are unsigned, Juan and LaVon.
Right.
Neither one of the Landry brothers has resigned. So I think that that's definitely going to be another area where, you know, we'll see, you know, what's going to happen. I think Nick Foles, as we mentioned earlier, going to the Rams, that's a, they, you know, we talked about it from the view of Pittsburgh with us, what are you doing? But we haven't talked about it from a point of view of how it's going to help the Rams. And I think that the Rams finally now have a chance to have a decent quarterback. I wonder how he'll do outside of the Chip Kelly system, considering he was not the consistent quarterback under Andy Reid, you know, because between him and Michael Vick sharing time. Who's ever really had a chance to consistently see what Nick Foles can do. And then to go from Andy Reid's system to Chip Kelly's system, you know, I just wonder how is he going to do under the mustache and what kind of offensive schemes they'll be expecting him to run over out there in St. Louis. But I think that was a good move for them. What are your thoughts?
Well, Jeff Fisher is more so – I guess you could say more so from the one of the last guys from the old school mold where you have the bell cow running back and, you know, you throw the ball when you have to or, you know, when the opportunities are there. Now, if they can put together a decent offensive line for Foles, then, yeah, I think he can have a lot of success there, actually. But if it's a situation where he's having to run for his life or he's taking a ton of hits like Bradford was, then there's going to be
right.
the same situation quarterback-wise.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think that they're really going to have to make sure that they step up and that they really give him the protection that he needs. Because, and I think that had Foles had that, he might have had a different outcome.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of what he would be able to do in St. Louis. So we definitely, you know, what's going to happen with that. Well, we're about to wrap it up. It's been another awesome edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. A reminder to check us out on Twitter at and check out on Twitter at Gridiron Girl and at GridironGirl.org for college football insights, scores, stories, you know, keeping up, especially with the draft coming. You know, definitely want to keep up with what's happening and who's moving where. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm in Kishi at Kishi's Cuties, K-E-S-H-I-S-C-U-T-I-E-S, Kishi's Cuties. Eric, go ahead and give us your Twitter handle.
I am at Fit for Life, and that's life spelled with a Y, L-Y-F-E.
And you can also follow our co-host, Erica. She's at PatsFangirl12. Again, Erica Lynn Anderson is at PatsFangirl12. And for more NFL free agency and tweets during the week, you can follow us at Gridiron Beauties. And again, check us out on Twitter. Plus new contests. Send us your favorite sports bra selfie with the hashtag NoJokeFootball by March 29th. For a chance to win a $50 Victoria's Secret gift card, and we will choose the coolest selfie. Get creative, get original. You can also catch Erica at Cover the Number 3, the word 3 spelled out, during the NFL season. That's at Cover 3, the word 3 spelled out during the season. And she, Erica also has her Are You Kidding rants, which she also does on YouTube. Thanks, everyone, for supporting us. Thanks again for another awesome weekly edition of the Gridiron Blitz with myself and Eric Brown. Again, Erica Lynn Anderson is out sick today. Eric, is there any other closing remarks you have about this week, about free agency, or anything else you want to get off your chest, any rants that you may have about your Bears? Speak now or forever hold your peace till next week.
No, I don't have any rants really, but yeah, I'm just this whole free agency situation this year has been crazy, so I'm just looking for more crazy stuff to happen.
Me too. I think I've been very, other than the DeMarco Murray thing, and that's all I'm going to say is the DeMarco Murray thing. No, seriously. Other than that situation, which, and as much as it hurt that DeMarco Murray is gone, I'm glad it's over with, and now the team can move forward, and now we can start figuring out what we need to do to fill the gap. And it is a huge gap that he is leaving, because, as I said last week, it's not just about players, but it's also about chemistry. It's about fitting. It's about connecting. It's about all of those things that I think that matter. And in the end, I think that that really and truly makes a huge difference. So we'll see, you know, and I guess the next big thing to watch for or not watch for, depending on the level of sanity I want to have, is whether or not Adrian Peterson comes to Dallas. You know, I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'm not going to not be excited. I'm just not going to hold myself hostage like I have been for the past 2 weeks, you know, trying to figure this thing out. But I'm definitely looking forward to a good season. I think the free agency moves, except for the head scratchers in Philly, have actually been really good. They've been pretty decent. I think most of the teams have addressed some needs that they've had, and they're trying to put in some stopgap measures. And it'll be really interesting, too, between the next week and the draft to see what the teams think are their needs. you know, and exactly. What do they have to fill versus who's available on the board and who's willing to move up or down depending on, you know, the direction to get those needs met. So, again, thank you guys for another awesome edition of the Gridiron Blitz radio show, and we will be back next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Have a good week.
Have a good week.